All right. So, before we start tonight, I wanted to add in two things which were left out. One of which add on to last week's discussion. It was not left out because I was remiss, but it was left heard it over Shabbos. So we can add it in. But something else that I left out, which really should have been back in our discussion of the third bracha, that I was going over my notes and I just realized that I left it out. And that is that way, way, way back when we discussed that we have in the beginning of Shmon Esrei, we have a Gadol Gibor Vanora, and we discussed at the time that Gadol Gibor Vanora, the Vilna Gaon says this, and other sources for this, that those correspond to the first three brachos, that Gadol is corresponds to the first bracha, and Gibor is the second bracha, Nora's third bracha. And I mentioned at the time that we really have an explanation of these three terms from the davening itself in Pesukei Dezimra on Shabbos and Yom Tov and the Yom Nuraim. We end Pesukei Dezimra with the additional Shochinad, or with Nishmas, which goes into Shochinad. So in the line right before Shochinad, we say Hakel v'satzu mosu zecha, and then we say Hagadol b'chvod shemecha, Hagibor lanetzach v'hanoira b'noira osecha. And at the time, we explained what each of those were, and I mentioned that I was going to leave. I was going to come back to Hanoira b'noira osecha, because it was something that needed to be understood after we had explained what Kedusha was. So I just wanted to very quickly, not to completely go all the way back into that sugya, but just to mention that the idea of Hanoira b'noi re'osecha, we mentioned at the time that, you know, the other terms is Hagadol b'chvod shemecha, is explaining, you know, what Gadol is, and Hagibor La netzach, hanoira benora osecha is like being, you know, kind of defining something by itself. It's a self-defining term, and so I just wanted to speak out that we mentioned this very briefly at the time, but after we've explained the idea of what Kedusha is, and that the concept of Kedusha is the idea of, at least one of the facets that we explained of what Kedusha is, that Kedusha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Niskav, and that he's Nivdal, and he's beyond our understanding, and we can't possibly understand him, and we don't have the terms in which to even discuss HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. We can only use borrowed terms and kind of describe the way that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, bechvodu v'atzmo, you know, in intrinsically defining a Kadosh Baruch Hu is totally beyond us. Like the Ramchal at the beginning of Derech Hashem says that, you know, the only thing we know about a Kadosh Baruch Hu is that he exists and that he's shalim, and we can't really, you know, that's the only thing we know, and even that we only know through Masora, and we can't, it's not an existence that we can really understand, and that's why Hanora Binora Osecha, we can only describe it in turn. We don't have any terms to describe it any further than what it is. Nora Binora Osecha, he's infinite in his infiniteness. He's beyond us in his being beyond us, and there's not really any further explanation we can give,
so
because that's what it is.
Why are we even trying then?
So what we're adding is the fact that we can't add. That's basically all we're describing is that
isn't just the fact that we.
So fine. So that's the that you wanted to. I was remiss in not going back to that. So since I can just add things in whenever I want, I figured I'd do that now. Another thing that I just wanted to mention, which is something that I heard over Shabbos. I was at the home of my Rebbe Yerutzi Berkowitz, and his son Yaakov was there, and his son said that asked the question, said that in the beginning of part of Parshas Chukas, so Rashi brings, you know, Chokim Ilfanai, that that the Paraduma is a Chok, and it's, you know, the Umos Olam Aranim Aleh, because we, you know, it's something that that we can't understand. And it seems from Rashi that Paraduma is something which, you know, we just do it without having any understanding of it. The Medrash that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did explain the meaning of it to Moshe Rabbeinu, but at least for us, that it's something that, you know, is kind of the paradigm of a chok with no appreciation, no understanding of what it really means. However, later in the Parsha, when it talks about that that you shech the para, and that you whatever the context is later in the Parsha, Rashi brings that that the paraduma was a kapara for the chet ha'egel, because the mother who should come and clean up after her child. So, you know, it's not really a complete, but that you know, that seems to be more than nothing. That seems either there's some explanation. Why are we burning a cow? You know, at least we know why it's a cow, that it's, you know, it's the mother is coming to clean up for its child. So exactly what Rashi seems to say, on the one hand, this is, you know, the pinnacle of a chok with no explanation, but on the other hand, that this is a seems to give some explanation for it. So Rabbi Yaakov Berkowitz suggested that that really very much along the lines of what we were discussing last week. Last week we discussed the idea that Atachonin comes after Kedusha, because first you have to have the idea that there is no, that we can't really understand what we're talking, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our Avodas Hashem is not based on our understanding of what we're doing. And after we have that, so then you can have Atachonin. So he said a similar type of idea. He said that the Chet Ha'egel really resulted from the Klal Yisrael making their own cheshbonos. They saw that you know, Mita Shel Moshe. They thought Moshe was gone. They thought that they had their cheshbonos of why, you know, they needed an Egel, because the Egel was going to represent them. And, you know, there's all kinds of discussion in the Mefarshim. The Ramban talks about that, you know, it wasn't just they decided, let's do a Avodah Zarah. They wanted a new Shaliach to be their intermediary, and they had their cheshbonos about why, you know, making an Egel was the right idea. But the problem was that, you know, that Kadosh Baruch Hu said, kol tmuna lo yeh lachem kol something with kol tmuna. Right? And they went ahead and they did it, and they had their cheshbonos. But, you know, your explanation, the Kadosh Baruch Hu said what the Kadosh Baruch Hu said. The para aduma is coming and cleaning up for its child exactly through that, because it's something which you have no understanding of. So that's the cleanup, that it's that you appreciate that I can't understand it, that the mitzvah is the mitzvah because it's the mitzvah. So that exactly is the appreciation that we have of the paraduma, which I thought was a very nice explanation. And also,
and what did Rav Tzvi say?
I think he gave his approval, but so. Also, I was very flattered or honored or whatever it is I said over what we said last week, and right. And Reb Tzvi said very good. So that's a good sign.
Shot is a good shot, because if you look at, it's interesting, if you look at most, typically the way we're taught about the Egel is in terms of a desire. But if you look at many, many Rishonim, I can say most Rishonim, if you look at many Rishonim, they say these kinds of things, which is not that necessarily they did some. It's not about what they did. It's about how they did it. They started making their own cheshbonos, and they started figuring out that they're. It's not because I think where Rishonim talk about is where it says like kishe aref. So I mean, kishe aref isn't the problem. They're you know, the apikarsim. Right. They're whatever.
There are a number of Rishonim and other parts who shtel on that. It says that where it says. That Moshe ground up the Egel and put it into the water and made them drink it. So Rashi brings the Gemara that makes the connection from that to Sota, and the Farshim would talk about what's the connection to Sota, because Sota is a what's the point of the of the Sota water is to kind of reveal that which was nobody saw it, nobody knows what happened, and we have this, you know, procedure to, and by the Chet HaEgel, the Chet was something which was not seen. It was something which was in their machshava, in their das, it was a thought process problem. The Avodah Zarah itself was just a totzah of a faulty, corrupted thought process. But it wasn't just, you know, on the surface what it was. It was something which really needed to be rooted out. Fine, that was something that I wanted to add on. Okay, so I last week I paused in the middle, stopped in the middle of the last leg of our introduction to the middle brachos and the connection between Ata Kadosh and Ata Chonin, and I wanted to finish that tonight and started a few minutes late. So I think after we finish that, we'll probably be at about time to pause for Mincha. So just to go back to where we started. So I mentioned last week Rabbeinu Yonah discussing the significance of Das being the beginning of the Bakashos. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Ki bekanoso adas yakir arko ba'olam," that when a person acquires das, he will recognize his own value, his own place in the world. Ve'yeda shekol tavosav hagashmim kalim va'ovrim, and he will recognize that all of his physical, material desires are things which are transient and things which are that are passing. So Rabbeinu Yonah is saying two things that come through Das. You have that you will recognize your own place, recognize your own value. It puts yourself into context where you fit into the world. And B, it puts your needs and your physical wants and desires into context. So we began explaining last week, and I wanted to expand about on this a little bit, that the Gra says, talking about exactly... we have a rule that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have to keep his own rules. He made the system, and he's not bound by the system. But we have a rule in general that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his own rules. And so the question is that how we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadesh Betuvo B'chol Yom Tamid, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not creating the world, Nefesh HaChaim says that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't Mekayim the world at every moment, it would cease to exist, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively creating the world at every moment, and if he would cease creating at any moment, the world would cease to exist. And the world continues to exist on Shabbos, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating on Shabbos. So the question is that how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu create on Shabbos without violating his own Shabbos? So the Rav Huttner explains based on the Gra. The Gra says,
I feel like we talked about this once.
It could be I brought this up before. So you'll see.
But I'm trying to. I don't remember it. So
if everything sounds familiar, then we'll know that we.
I'm happy to hear it again.
But for sure the conclusion we didn't go through before. But so the Gra says that the way this worked is that on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, with the creation of Adam, was also the creation of Da'as, was the creation of awareness. And Da'as is what enables a person to evaluate their priorities and to assess what is primary and what is secondary. And the creation of Adam on Erev Shabbos was the creation of that faculty of Da'as. And so how does that fit into Shabbos? So Rav Huttner says, gives the example, he says there's a halacha in Shabbos which defines what Shabbos is all about and what malacha is. And that halacha is that if you take a kli and you carry it outside from your Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the Rosh Rabim, Chayiv Misa, right? Edim Hasara, right? Chayiv Misa. If you take a chatzi kazayis, less than a shiur of ochel, right? Less than the shiur that you, or less than the shiur of anything of that is the shiur hotza of that thing, and you put it in the kli, and you now use that kli to carry this pachos mikashir outside, you're potter. If you carry out the kli in and of itself, you're chayiv. But if you use the kli as a kli to carry out less than a shear, you're potter. Why? Because when you had just a kli, so the kli was chashav on its own. The kli, the vessel, was significant because that's all there was. It was only there for itself. But once the vessel becomes a kli to something else, it becomes tafel, it becomes secondary, it becomes tertiary to whatever it is that you're using it to carry. And if you're using it to carry something which you're not chayiv on, the kli becomes batel, becomes tafel to that which you're carrying, and you're patur on carrying the kli also, because the kli no longer has its own intrinsic significance. It's only there as a vehicle to carry that other thing. And says Rav Huttner that that's really the creation of Shabbos. It was the creation of the point at which Iker and Tafel in creation came into being. As long as you just had the 6 days of creation, all you had was the physical existence of creation. So the physical existence of the world was all that there was there, and therefore that was the chashuv part of creation. Once you created Shabbos, and Shabbos is the ruchni tochein of creation, the Gashmi just becomes a vehicle, just becomes a kli, a vessel for the to facilitate that spiritual nekuda, which is now the tachlis of creation. And therefore, on Shabbos, with the creation of Shabbos, the Gashmi creation is no longer, the physical is no longer a chashuv in and of itself. It's now a tafel. And the continued sustaining of the, or creation of that creation is no longer, it's no longer a malacha. It's no longer a real act of creating on its own. It's all tafel to the menucha of Shabbos, and therefore is not a violation of Shabbos, of the idea of Shabbos. And that's this idea of Iker and tafel, of having the sense of priority, of recognizing what is Iker and what is Tafel, is really what makes it possible to, quote unquote, to continue creation of this world on Shabbos. And what gives the ability to be makir, Iker and Tafel, the ability to recognize what's central and what is tertiary, is Da'as. That's why the creation of Adam was a mechin for the creation of, for the existence of Shabbos, for the continued creation of the world on Shabbos. Das is what gives a person the ability to be makir, what is Iker and what is Tafel. And this is a necessary introduction to asking for our physical needs. We need to have Das before we can ask for our needs, because we need to have Iker and Tafel. We need to understand that our worldly needs are a tafel. They have validity and importance only in the context of our avoda, of our service of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and as facilitators of that avoda, that's the place where our physical needs have a role and have a meaning to them. And therefore, it's only with the starting off with atachonin, starting off with the request for Das and with the faculty of Das, that then the rest of the things that we ask for, which are all of our personal needs, now fit into place. The Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam asks a question. He says, why was it that all of the Nevi'im and the Tzaddikim were misaveh for the Yemos HaMashiach? Yemos HaMashiach is a time, says the Rambam, when, you know, it's going to be shalva and sheket. It's going to be, you know, calm and tranquility, and the world's going to be at peace, and you're going to be comfortable and have all your needs. And says the Rambam that that's not really the end goal. The end goal is as the Rambam understands, the Rambam writes in several places, that Olam Haba is a place that has no physicality in it. The Rambam takes Kipshuto, the Maimer of Chazal, that in Olam Haba in bo lo achil v'lo shtia v'lo tashmish ela tzadim yoshvim v'itro sam v'yoshem v'nem v'zeh v'shchina. There is no physicality in Olam Haba. And the ultimate reward, there's nothing other than just the ruchni experience. So why did all of the tzadikim, why were they so eagerly anticipating Yamos HaMashiach, which was a time of, you know, physical comfort, what was the big deal? So says the Rambam, because they all davened and hoped and anticipated for Yamos HaMashiach to have the end of Sheba and Malchios, to sit Bishalva with the tranquility to be able to sit and learn Torah and serve Hashem properly, that in a time when there will be no distractions and no struggles to distract a person from being able to just focus on Avodas Hashem, that will be a point at which a person can really recognize to the utmost their ability to actualize their spiritual potential. And that's the real tachlis, says the Rambam, of the Yamos HaMashiach, is to have this period where we can maximize our ruchni accomplishment because our gashmi is completely settled, is completely at the Bishalva. And in this context, we can ask for all of the bakashos that are our personal needs. It's our health and our parnasa and to not have tzar and all of these things, which are, they're our own personal needs. But if we understand them in the context as being part of the prerequisites for our serving Hashem, if you understand that all of our physical needs are a part of a hechsher for Avodas Hashem, so now they're that it's appropriate to ask for. And the Maharal in the Nesiv HaAvoda says that, explaining the pasuk, says Meisir Ozno Mishmoa Torah Gam Tfiloso Toeva, that somebody who removes his ear from listening to the Torah, somebody who is not being mekabel Torah, that his tefillah is also a toeva, his tefillah is also an abomination. So the Maharal says, if your tefillah is not part of a greater context of Avodas Hashem, then it's also, if you're asking for your needs, but you're ignoring the Avodas Hashem that those needs are meant to facilitate, then asking for your needs itself is a toeva. You're interested in yourself. You're not interested in Avodas Hashem. The way that tefillah, that asking for your needs is appropriate, is because it is a chelak of Avodas Hashem. And if we give the right context to our tefillah, if we give the right context to the understanding of the place of our physical life, our physical sustenance and our physical wants and desires, so it's not just that we're justifying our own needs and that therefore we're permitted to daven for them, but that's what makes tefillah into an avoda. Tefillah is not just a heter. The Torah describes tefillah is avoda shebelev. Tefillah is an avoda. So how is tefillah, it's all these things, just asking, you know, I want this and I want this and I want this, where does that become an avoda? It makes tefillah into an avoda because the physical needs themselves become part of Avodas Hashem. If you have that hakara, if you have that da'as, and you're able to be makir, you're able to recognize and appreciate what's important and what's not important, where you fit into the world, what your role is in the world, and what the role of your physical needs are in the world, so your tefillah itself becomes an avoda. And therefore, da'as is the necessary prereq before we can start talking about the rest of our physical needs, the rest of our worldly wants and desires, to first have the ability to recognize, the capacity to understand that everything that we're davening for is in order to facilitate our avodas Hashem, in order to facilitate the relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then we can ask for all of them, and then they become part of avoda. And therefore, atachonin is the with the kinyan hada'as, that you recognize yourself, as Rabbeinu Yonah says, you recognize your own role, and you recognize the place of your taivas, and that if your taivas are merely, if your physical wants are merely for the sake of your physical wants, then they are kalam v'ovrim. They're transitory, they're passing, they're insignificant. But if you recognize your physical needs as being part of something which is nitzchi, you recognize that my physical needs are facilitating something which is eternal, then that itself becomes part of the avoda. And that's the introduction of atachonin as the first step, the necessary first step towards the bakashos, which makes the bakashos themselves into an avoda. All right, we'll hold here.